This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Okay, I just want to turn to a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Okay, Paul is speaking here. And we're just going to read it out from verse 1, and we'll read through to verse 11. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 to 11. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you that the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, and by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas or Peter, and then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am who I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Hallelujah. Paul's reminding the Corinthians about the gospel that he preached to them. And he said that they'd received it and that they stood upon it and that they were saved by it. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that this world has ever heard. It's the greatest message that this world has ever heard. In fact, Jesus Christ was the only expected person in all of history, right from the foundation of the world, right back in the beginning in the garden when God told Adam and Eve and told Eve that of her, that her seed would be the saviour of the world. It was right back there. And all through history, all history was waiting for that time when Jesus Christ would be manifested in the flesh. And the whole purpose that Jesus came, the whole purpose that he came was first of all to die for us. You know, this is a gospel that each one of us has received. You know, how many of you, Christmas time, you've received a gift? Anybody here never received a gift? Put your hand up. Never. I think, Samuel, you had a birthday just recently and you got a gift, I'm pretty sure. But every one of us know what it is to receive a gift. You know, and we can all have different responses to that. You know, some of us find it hard to receive gifts because somehow we think we've got to pay for it. Somehow we think we should have earned it. You ever find that? You give a gift to somebody and they're a bit awkward. They don't know how to respond. Or some people think, oh, I've got to give you one now. But that's not your intent. Well, maybe it is. But it shouldn't be, should it? You give a gift, you have no expectation. But a lot of us maybe have troubles at times to receive that gift. But Paul's reminding them about this gospel which he preached to them. And each one of them received it, and he said, you not only received it, but you're standing upon it. It's, you know, it's a solid ground that we stand on. What does the psalmist say? He said, you brought me out of the miry clay. The gift that you gave me brought me out of this miry clay of the life I was in. I was sinking. There was no hope. And you brought me out of that clay and you've set me upon a rock. And I'm standing in a secure place. I'm standing in a place of absolute safety and security and comfort. And that's what he's done to us. We stand in this gospel. And then he says, for I delivered to you, first of all, So he's going to share what the gospel's all about. He said, that which I also received, and he obviously standing in it as well, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now that was something to Paul that meant an awful lot to him. You know, he goes through the list of all the different people, the apostles, Peter, who saw Christ when he rose from the dead. He talked about all the other 12 apostles. They saw Christ. He revealed themselves to them. Think about Thomas when he said, you know, unless I see the nail prints in his hand and the wound in his side, I won't believe. Jesus comes to him, calls him out, says, see, Thomas, look at the wounds in my hand and put your hand here and feel the wound in my side. And he said, it is I. He said, my Lord and my God. You're the Son of God. And all the other apostles, over 500 brethren saw him. And after that, James and then all the other apostles. And then Paul says, last of all, me. And he talked about that he wasn't worthy to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church of God. He was trying to destroy this thing. And God revealed him. So this is very real to Paul. Something that he'd received. God, you know, you think of that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, that's what Paul said. And yet he wasn't going to wallow. He received a gift that the Bible calls it indescribable. Paul calls it a gift that is indescribable. Who can describe the gift that's been given to us? He died for our sins according to the scriptures. It was the whole purpose that Jesus Christ was manifested. It's his whole purpose when he came. He set his face like a flint to go where? To go to the cross. I mean, he could have settled for popularity. He would have been the flavor of the month. You get somebody healing people and providing food for free, for nothing. You know, he'd be the flavor of the month. And yet he knew that the need of humanity was far greater than healing, far greater than food provision. The healing of humanity needed their sins forgiven. And it demanded that a man go to the cross. That's the truth. It demanded that an innocent man go to the cross for us. So Jesus Christ came, and for 30 years he lived a perfect life. It had to be perfect. He had to be a perfect sacrifice without one's spot or one stain, had to be a perfect sacrifice. So first of all, this is the first part of the gospel, that he died for our sins. And you know, that's a truth that needs to be re-emphasized today. Do you know the Bible says that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God? Everybody today has their different standards. We have our different ideas of what truth is. But the Bible declares all have sinned. And what is the consequence of sin? Dare we speak it out loud? The wages of sin is what? Death. Okay, how many have sinned? All. What about little children? What about all these innocent people that you can think of? People that lived a wonderful life. People that seemingly poured out their lives for others. Is it truth that all have sinned? All have sinned. You know, when Jesus came on the scene, there were murderers. There were adulterers. There was everything happening there. And he came, and it was the murderers, the adulterers that came to him first. And all the people who were trying their best to live a good life, who were trying their best to be nice people, to be good people, were the people who found it the hardest to receive the gospel. Think about all the religious leaders. They were doing their best to live a good life. Paul was one who did his absolute best. Paul's record was that all of the commandments, he kept them, except one little word in those 10 commandments, thou shalt not covet. And he could have hidden that from every single man, because who can see what's in a person's heart? Can any of you see what's in a person's heart? I can't, but God can. covetousness is something in the heart. It will outwork eventually. Paul outwardly kept all of the commandments. He didn't steal, he didn't lie, he didn't commit adultery, he didn't murder, he didn't dishonour his father and mother, he didn't profane the Sabbath day, he worshipped the Lord, he did all of those things, but one account, he fell short, and the truth of that word pierced his heart like a sword, and that was, thou shalt not covet. And he recognised that he was worthy of death the same as everybody else. You know what it says in the book of Romans? It says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's in Romans 3:23. And then it says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. What about little children? There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, with their tongues they practice deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips or tongue. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I don't know about you, but have you ever read something like that or thought and been offended by it? Are you accusing me, God? I don't do that. I don't do that. Do you know what I've realized recently is that the people who try to justify themselves are actually worse than the ones who do those sorts of things. Because what we do to justify ourselves is we compare ourselves with somebody who's worse than us so that we feel that's our standard, that's our truth. That's what we like. God, I'm not, think of that fact, I'm not like the tax collectors. I'm not like a lawyer. I'm not like a car salesman. I'm not like a pedophile. I'm not like those others. I'm good. And yet this is God's standard of righteousness, and we all fall short. And so that makes the truth that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture something that we should absolutely be rejoicing about. He died in our place. He took our place. Think about it. You're in a court situation. Sometimes we've got to go to court to be convicted, don't we? You know, I'm innocent. I'm an innocent man. Everybody proclaims their own innocence. But it's not until you get put in a court situation and you're cross-examined and you're examined by the prosecutor. And that's what the Word of God does. It examines not the outside. We can all put on a good exterior. We can all make a good show, but the Word of God examines the heart. The Bible says that the Word of God it's alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. This is getting close, isn't it? And it discerns the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. And we get undone, and then we can appreciate the fact that He died for our sins. You know what the Bible says is that when we realize that He died for us, that our conclusion should be, that's the end of my life. That's the end of my life. You know, wonder Paul, he said, I received this gospel. I stood upon this gospel with all my heart, that first of all, Jesus died for our sins. And then what's the second part? He was buried and He rose again. He rose again. He paid the price, but He rose again. So what was Paul's confession? He said, it is no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of or in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is the Christian response to what Jesus has done for us. Didn't we sing that song? Beautiful words there. I give my life away. I give it away. He died to save us from sin. He rose again from the dead to justify us before the very throne of God. so that when we come in the name of Jesus, not saying I'm come because I've been a good boy for 2 years or whatever it is, or a good girl for 3 or 4 years. No, we come simply on the basis of Jesus' blood shed for us. He paid the price for me. And Lord, here I am, warts and all, everything. I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm not trying to pretend anything. Here I am, warts and all. Lord, if you can use me, use me. And Paul said, the grace of God was upon him. That amazing grace. He said, I persecuted the church. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. And yet, I worked harder than all of them. He says, I'm not boasting. I'm just saying, I yielded, surrendered myself to the grace of God that was upon me and just allowed God to do whatever he was. He says, really, God working through me. That's the truth. Sin separates us from God, and that's why he died. And this is something he said, it is preached. You know, the word to preach something, it means to proclaim it aloud. This is absolutely astounding news that we tell people Jesus died for your sins and he rose again for you so that you can become a new creation in him. That's astounding news. And this is something he said. Let's go back to. Did I read all of that to 1? I think I did to 15 to 1 to 11. Let's continue. He said, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scripture. He was seen by all these different apostles and prophets, and seen by Paul as well, right at the end. And he said, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Isn't it amazing? It's through the foolishness of preaching that people are saved. What's the message? We preach that Jesus died for you and he rose again for you. Why? Do you know, in the beginning, when God created man, created Adam and Eve, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam stood up and he became a living soul, breathing, living soul. But it talks about Jesus Christ, that he, when he rose from the dead, the breath that entered him was the Holy Spirit. He was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit, literally raised from the dead. And when he rose up, he became the head of a whole new creation, who's a whole new body. It's called the church. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything. So he became the head of a whole new creation, of people who are born again. Born again, not by just the breath of God, but by the Holy Spirit. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. So the first Adam that was born, he sinned so that everybody in Adam sinned with him. Every single person, they couldn't help it. We couldn't help it. We were born in sin and our inclination was to sin, and that's what we did. We have no excuse for it, but that's what we did. And the penalty for that is death. So in this one man, death is working, but there's a whole new man that is risen from the dead, and it's made up of you and me, people who willingly give their lives over to him and allow the Spirit of God to flow through them. And it's resurrection life. The first Adam, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, was called, he was a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, He's a life-giving spirit. He gives life to all who come to him. Our greatest strength is when we know Galatians 2:20, which is, I have been crucified with Christ. When he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we are to rise up and walk in a whole new life. Thank you, Beverly. Hallelujah. Can we stand up, please? Anybody who would like prayer, please, I'm going to open the altar up for prayer, but we're going to close now. And I just want to finish with this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. That when we believe what Jesus has done, when we believe that he looked upon our helplessness, he looked upon our hopelessness, and he paid the price for it so that we could freely receive everything that he rose from the dead for us, freely. It's a gift. It's a free gift. If God didn't spare his only begotten Son, think about this, if he didn't spare Jesus, his only begotten Son, how much more does he want to give you all things? He wants to give you the kingdom. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly in every area. God wants you to receive that, and it's simple, it's free. Hallelujah. And he wants to do that through each and every one of us. There are giftings in this place that God wants to release in an even greater way. Each one of you is called, and he just simply said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick. We already know who we are, and we already know the grace of God that's upon us and the love of God that's going to move upon each one of us to minister in his name.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.